Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Melbourne Town. And for those of you listening elsewhere, a very good evening to you too. The time is 9 p.m. and you're on the Kiss My Art show with Amy. Tonight we have a jam-packed show full of films, music and music reviews. Tonight in the studio I've got three beautiful ladies here who are here to talk to us about films, and we will be hearing about some of the short films they've been working on and their very busy lives in the film industry. Tonight also we are talking about the latest release from The Temper Trap, a Melbourne band currently living in the UK who have just released their second album last Friday. We're going to hear a few tracks from that tonight, and I'm going to give my opinion as usual. And also we're going to be hearing a new track from The Black Chords, who we had in the studio a couple of months back. They have a gig this Saturday. So we're going to be hearing from all of that and more tonight on Kiss My Art. So fill up that glass, kick back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Joy 94.9.
Wow, that was the latest track from The Temper Trap's self-titled album, The Temper Trap. That track is called Need Your Love. The album was released last Friday, the 18th of May. The Temper Trap is an Australian indie rock band which formed in 2005. Indonesian-born frontman Dougie Mandgai was originally a busker in Melbourne. In 2008, the group relocated from Melbourne to London and the band released their debut album Conditions in June 2009 to favourable reviews and commercial success. It peaked at number 9 on the ARIA album chart and into the top 30 on the UK albums chart. Its lead single, Sweet Disposition, peaked in the top 10 on the Belgian, Irish and UK singles charts and reached number 14 on the ARIA singles chart. So you can see it was a pretty popular track. At the ARIA Music Awards of 2010 in November, The Temper Trap won Best Group for their album Conditions and Most Popular Australian Single for that track, Sweet Position. Their debut album cleared nearly 1 million copies. That's pretty incredible for a Melbourne band. With their 2009 debut Conditions, The Temper Trap almost instantly cemented themselves as one of Australia's most popular, best loved and impressive acts. World tours, massive festival spots and platinum sales figures soon came after. But when you tap massive success with your debut album, how do you follow it up? And one of their songs in their new album is appropriately called Where Do We Go From Here? Let's listen to their chart-topping song, Sweet Position, Disposition, to remind ourselves what came before the album that hit our stores last Friday. Let's reminisce for a second. Here is Sweet Disposition.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Kiss My Arts with Amy. The time is 12 minutes past 9. You've been listening to The Temper Trap and their track Sweet Disposition, and that is from their debut album Conditions, which was released a couple of years ago. And in the meantime, they have released a brand spanking new album last Friday, the 18th of May, which I'm reviewing tonight on the show. Sweet Disposition, the track we've just heard, peaked in the top 10 on the Belgian, Irish and UK singles chart and reached number 14 on the ARIA singles charts. It's done extremely well, and so did their debut album. But when you tap massive success with your success album, with your debut album, how do you follow it up? Well, in a way, The Temper Trap decided not to follow it up with their latest album. With their self-titled second album, the band have stepped away from the sweeping atmospheric rock epics for a more retro-inspired slab of 80s synth pop. Perhaps they went to the Eurythmics for inspiration with their track Need Your Love, which we heard actually at the beginning of the show, tipping its hat to this sound world. Or perhaps Duran Duran in the track Never Again. Or best of the lot is probably London's Burning, which tips a respectful nod to The Clash. All the success of their 2009 debut Conditions made the Temper Trap's self-titled second album highly anticipated, not just here at home, but also in the UK and the US. I know I was itching to hear it. Having upgraded keyboardist Joseph Greer to a permanent member and enlisting the talents of Beck collaborator Tony Hoffer as producer, this is an offering that moves away from guitar-led rock and into a world driven by synths and littered with grand, sweeping moments. The Temper track is not instantly accessible or catchy like Conditions was, and maybe that's why I was initially disappointed. Perhaps I was expecting something and felt disappointed when I didn't receive it. Maybe I felt it was a step more towards commercialism, and that too disappointed me. Or maybe it was the cliche and outdated track London's Burning that didn't sit right. The track strays into social commentary, featuring a sample of news broadcasters discussing the riots that took place nearly a year ago in London. This is a clear influence on the album, as the band was situated in Hackney in London, not far from the riots when they happened. But as I said, for me, this is overly cliche and outdated. Need Your Love lacks the uplifting guitar riffs that made the band an international success. However, perhaps this is not a drawback altogether. It does show that they have diversified their sound and are experimenting, showing that they are not a band who will repeat the sound that they know is successful. This may cost them clearing 1 million copies of their album this time around, but I guess you can't criticise them too much for trying something new. I guess the next question, though, is it really new? Or is it just Coldplay, U2 and The Killers repackaged? The magic of Dougie's trademark falsetto, accompanied by sweet acoustic guitar hooks, is sorely missing in this new album. It's almost like listening to a different singer, with a much more anthem-style declamatory tone. The track Rabbit Hole is the single which best bridges the music from their past work to now, which probably explains why it was unofficially released first to radio. The recent single Need Your Love, which has already been picked up and used on many TV shows, and mid-album track Never Again are thick with fuzzy synths and driving skinned percussion that sound as though they were manufactured to fill stadiums, and there are definitely plenty of these stadium moments throughout the album, which is a huge departure from the beautiful intimacy of their first album. To counterbalance this show of grandiose, anthem-like explosions of sound, flashes of quiet are found in the tracks Dreams and Miracle, with sparse, dreamlike electronic soundscapes predominantly consisting of long sustained sounds that generally seem to go nowhere. The keyboards have a more clearly synthesizer tone. Guitars resonate rather than add any kind of rhythmic or melodic effect, and it doesn't take too close an inspection to understand that not everything has been sugary sweet in the life of frontman Dougie. Maybe it'll grow on me. I hope so, because I really want to like this album. I love the Temper Trap. Hold on, let me rephrase. I loved the Temper Trap, but am desperately wanting to be wooed back into their musical arms. To give them some credit, though, the more I listen to certain tracks, the more they do indeed start to take effect on me. The tracks in particular that I like are Trembling Hands, Miracle, This Isn't Happiness, and Leaving the Heartbreak Hotel. Maybe by no coincidence, the more understated tracks of the album. All in all, I have to say that so far, I'm disappointed in their latest offering, but I'm willing to go on another date or two in the hope of being wooed back. Right at this point in time, I give them 2.5 out of 5 kisses. The Temper Trap are playing at the Forum in Melbourne on Wednesday the 30th of May at 8 p.m. Let's check out one of their latest tracks from their album. It's called Trembling Hands.
Joy 94.9.
That was the Temper Trap with their their track called Trembling Hands, and that is from their latest album called The Temper Trap, which was released last Friday on the 18th of May. I've just reviewed the album and given it 2.5 out of 5 kisses. I will post that review to our social media sites. If you're not friends with us, if you're not tweeting us, if you're not liking us, you can find us on the twits. We're at JoyKissMyArts, and on Facebook you can find us at facebook.com/JoyKissMyArts. Tonight in the studio I am joined by 3 lovely ladies, and they're all in the film industry. They're here tonight to talk to us about a couple of things. First of all, they're here to talk to us about Circuit Breaker, and that is their new company business / festival support thing. They're going to talk to you more about that in a minute. It's extremely interesting and incredibly important for the independent film business, or whatever you want to call it. First up, we have Anna, and I don't know how on earth to pronounce your last name, Anna. How do you say your last name?
It's Kajevnikov, and it's phonetic, so it's pretty easy.
Just sound it out as it is. Yeah. Anna Kujesnikov.
Close enough.
Welcome to the show, Anna. Anna is a Melbourne-based producer. She completed a postgraduate diploma in producing at the Victorian College of the Arts in 2009, where she made multi-award-winning short film, that is, Deeper Than Yesterday. Anna has travelled to both Cannes Film Festival and Sundance Film Festival, winning awards at both with the film, as well as attending a number of local and interstate festivals with this and other films she has produced. Since graduating, Anna has made 8 additional short films, including Wonder Boy, and Bruce Lee played Badminton 2 with director Corrie Chen, who we also have in the studio tonight. Bruce Lee played Badminton 2 was made with the assistance of Open Channel and Screen Australia's Raw Nerve Initiative in 2001. As well as being one of the founders and directors of Circuit Breaker, Anna is in development on a couple of different TV and feature film projects, which remain to be mysterious, I believe. Will be revealed at a future date. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear more about what you do. Sitting in the other hot seat, we've got Beatrix Coles. Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Very well.
You're looking lovely in your red dress.
Thank you.
Yeah,
breaking away from the Melbourne black.
Yes, yeah. People do tend to go into their Melbourne blacks at this time of year. Beatrix is a creative.
Are you mocking my accent?
She also happens to be New Zealander. She's a creative producer and a freelance writer. Her background is divided across theatre production, event production, television, film and festivals. After initially training as a copywriter, she worked as a television production manager and researcher for iWorks New Zealand before moving to iWorks Film and Drama to work as the development coordinator. After leaving New Zealand, she worked for the London International Film Festival in 2008 and 2009 and the Edinburgh International Film Festival in 2009. In 2010, she moved to Melbourne. But still refuses to wear Melbourne blacks, apparently.
There's a lot of it in there.
She's currently developing a number of projects independently and, of course, is also one of the founders and directors of Circuit Breaker. Beatrix, welcome.
Thanks.
And sitting in the other incredible hot seat, we have director Corrie Chen. More information about Corrie can be found at her website, corriechen.com, if you want to get on there now and Google it before I actually even have time to speak, so you're in the know. Corrie was born in Taiwan but was raised in Melbourne and is a graduate of the VCA School of Film and Television with a Master's of Film and Television. At VCA, she wrote and directed Happy Country and Wonder Boy. Both films have screened at numerous festivals locally and internationally, and she was selected for the Accelerated Talent Program at the 2009 Melbourne International Film Festival with Happy Country, one of 12 emerging filmmakers selected from around Australia and New Zealand. Wonder Boy made its international premiere at the prestigious Munich Film Festival in 2011, and Corey was invited to attend as one of 35 student filmmakers from around the world to participate in their lab. It was also nominated in the student film category at the 2012 Australian Directors Guild Awards. Whew, there's more. In 2011, she was a recipient of Screen Australia's Raw Nerve Production Initiative with her short Bruce Lee Played Badminton 2, which we're going to hear more about tonight. She was also shortlisted finalist in Open Channel's Short and Sharp Pitch Pro competition. At the 2012 Qantas Spirit of Youth Awards, Corrie was named second runner-up by Judge Robert Luketic. Welcome to the show, Corrie. Holy moly.
You really didn't have to read the whole thing out. Now I'm embarrassed.
People are very impressed right now, I can tell. People on the airwaves are blushing, I can see. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to hear more about what you've done, what you plan to do in the future, more about Circuit Breaker and more about the film, which is may be screening this week, but we'll come back and hear more about that. You're on Kiss My Arts. The time is 29 minutes past the hour of 9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 on the Kiss My Art show with Amy, Anna, Beatrix and Corrie, and the time is 30 minutes past 9. We're here with the lovely ladies chatting about film, independent filmmaking and what it's like to be in the film industry, particularly the film independent film industry in Melbourne. Ladies, welcome. I'd love to hear about your little business venture / company called Circuit Breaker. Now, we had a bit of a discussion about what it actually is. I'm going to let you tell us.
Look, it's a funny proposition, I know, and it's a bit of a niche business that we've got going. What we're doing is we're working with short filmmakers to help them to get their films onto the festival circuit. And once they get onto the festival circuit, we're helping them to develop resources that will help them to help their chances when they get to the international festivals.
Wow. Is there anything else like this in Melbourne at the moment?
There's nothing else like this in the world.
In the world.
Which is quite a bold statement, but we've really done our research.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing is probably something like Without a Box, but I mean, that we actually do the submissions for people. We free up their time so that they can work on their next project.
Because how much of a creative person's time is taken up with all of that process of preparing the films for the festivals?
Yeah. Yeah, far too much. And I mean, there's no point in getting to the stage where you can attend a fantastic international festival if all you can talk about when you get there is how much admin work you've done.
Yeah.
You know, people need to be writing, they need to be directing, they need to be always thinking ahead. And I'd like to think that we'll help them do that.
So that's your job, basically, to do all the kind of stuff they don't want to do.
All the boring stuff.
All the boring stuff. So yeah. how did the concept of this come about?
I guess we just noticed a gap in the market. It's something that, obviously, having been to a lot of festivals, myself as a with films and Beatrix being at lots of festivals, behind the scenes working at a lot of festivals, we just noticed that there wasn't really a service of this kind. And let's be honest,
people kept asking us for advice. Yeah. Like, to cut to the chase.
Yeah.
And we decided to put some structure around that advice. But, I mean, you know, it's not just born out of a desire to monetize. The fact is that this is a very necessary service.
And it's time-consuming as well. So,
So what would be a typical day then in the life of a Circuit Breaker employee? Obviously, it's only you two at this stage. It's still sort of new and sort of up and coming.
I'd say that we're really gathering momentum at the moment.
Well, I mean, from my experience, the days that we actually do get to spend time on it is spent looking at which festivals are coming up and their deadlines and how much each of these festivals cost to enter and where it can go to from the previous festival and
Yeah, we spend a lot of time seeking out really niche festivals for our clients as well. It's quite amazing what's out there.
Yeah.
There are more film festivals now than there ever have been before, which is great and it's fantastic and the opportunities are massive, but it also means that it's harder to navigate.
Yeah.
It continues to grow, especially with all the new digital technologies that we've got out there at the moment. And so many online festivals these days are coming up as well. So
you guys scope out all of that stuff for your clients so that they don't have
to. As well as keeping abreast of all of the funding opportunities there are out there for travel grants and just for funding in general, if there is any.
So if we have any sort of budding film makers, producers and the like listening to the show, where can they find out more information about what you do?
They can go to our website, which is www.circuitbreakerfilms.com. They can also go to our Twitter page, which is @_circuitbreaker.
Absolutely.
And also our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/circuitbreakerfilms. I think we've covered all those pieces.
We're all over the
internet. Or they can just email us at info@circuitbreakerfilms.com as well. But
fantastic.
All that information is on the website as well.
But both of you in your other lives are producers. Mm-hmm. So let's just backtrack a little bit. And where did you come from in order to get to where you are now? Beatrix, what's your background? We heard a little bit from your bio, but how did you get to this point?
I think it started when I began working for a producer, which was the time that it kind of crystallised for me. I'd worked in television for a long time. I had an academic degree in film, but it wasn't until I saw this kind of frantic day-to-day, exciting life. And, you know, I say frantic quite seriously. This woman was frantic. that I kind of realised that this is actually something I could do. This was a pace that I would enjoy, and I knew that I wanted to get involved. But I also love the festival world and that feeling of an international involvement, the exciting emergence of all kinds of new talent that happens, and the incredible buzz that you get from being associated with it. And so for me, Circuit Breaker is a way of combining that and actually being in touch with very, you know, some experienced filmmakers who want to use us, but also as a way of supporting and helping out fantastic emerging filmmakers.
Wow. Anna, what's your story?
Well, it's kind of a strange one. I almost fell into producing. It was a little bit accidental, but it kind of all happened quite organically at the same time. I was dragged along to a VCA open day by my best friend. And just happened to love it so
much. Fate was pulling you in that direction.
Yeah, and I didn't actually think that I would get into the course that I applied for, having only completed a year of a degree and this being a postgrad. But they seemed to love all the experience that I'd had previously working on short films and also working high-level admin in major corporations. And it all seemed to be enough to push me through. And then I was just really lucky that I was able to work on some really amazing films during VCA and travel to some of the major festivals. And I say it's all luck, but it's also a lot of hard work.
Hard work, of course.
And, you know, this is a good way to keep abreast of all the information coming in. Circuit Breaker, that is really a great way to keep
informed
about all the festivals that are out there, and whilst developing other things in the background, because those things move a lot slower than something like Circuit Breaker, where we're constantly having to push stuff through. So it's a really, you know, it's a really good balance.
Can I just say, I think being a film producer or a film director, just saying that, is like the best possible thing you could take to a dinner party. I just think that, like, wow.
They just don't realise how unimpressive it actually is.
And
we
I'm
never
sitting
have
in
any
a room
money.
Now with two producers and a director. Wow, this is incredible. But what is it actually like being in the film industry as a producer?
It's hard work.
If you invite us to a dinner party, we will drink all of your wine, eat all of your cheese. We're not good guests.
Oh, Look, we've got Anna, Corey and Beatrix in the studio talking about independent filmmaking, producing and directing. We'll talk with Corey after our break. First up, though, I just want to remind everybody and have a chat about the Black Chords. Now, the Black Chords were on the show a couple of months ago. After 12 months of writing and recording, the Melbourne-based band are ready and raring to release their much-awaited first single, Dance, 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 from their forthcoming second album, which is due to be released later this year. Dance, Dance, Dance arrives on the airwaves with a mix of melancholy and a hook that is undeniably buoyant. The music video for Dance, Dance, Dance was filmed during recording at the Barra Shed in the Yarra Valley and provides a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at the band during the recording process. The Black Chords bunkered down in an isolated barn or improvised studio in country Victoria for 2 weeks to record. The new album is due to be released later this year, and the imminent release of their first single, we get to hear it right now. The boys sent it through to me a couple of days ago, so we get the pleasure of having a little sneak peek at their fantastic new single off their upcoming, soon to be released later this year album. It's called Dance, 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 so get your shoes on and dance, dance, dance. Here it is, the Black Chords.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're on Kiss My Arts with Amy. The time is 43 minutes to 9. You just heard a track called Dance, Dance, Dance from the Black Chords. That is a single from their upcoming album, which is due to be released later this year. The Black Chords are playing in Melbourne at the Workers Club this Saturday night from 8 p.m. If you're keen and you like their music, go along, check them out. They are fantastic. They're also being supported by Canary, who I reviewed a couple of weeks back, and who I'll also leave this hour with one of those tracks, so stay tuned to hear that. But in the meantime, we have got three lovely ladies. We've got Corey, Anna and Beatrix here talking about independent film. We've just been chatting with Anna and Beatrix about their little film business called Circuit Breaker. We're going to talk to Corey now. Corey, hi.
Hello.
we heard an incredible bio from you before.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it from you, though. Where is your background and how... How did you get to where you are now? And let's talk a bit about the film you're working on at the moment.
How did I get here? So I've always wanted to do film. Well, actually, I wanted to be an astronaut when I was young.
Legitimately? Because I did read that on your website and I was like, really?
yeah, legitimately, for a really long time. And my dad was like, no, girls can't be astronauts. I think he was hoping that would steer me into a sensible career.
Like accounting.
Little did he know it would turn you into a film director.
Well, it was actually his suggestion, because I always used to like watching films, and it would be the only time I would shut up was when they put a film on. And I could always remember actors' names really well. So he was like, oh, obviously you can be a really good film director. So that's how I... had my heart.
Is he regretting it now?
He's really regretting it now, I think.
I wonder statistically what the difference is between becoming an astronaut and a successful film director.
The odds are probably the same.
Exactly. So I had my heart set on doing this for a really long time, and after I did an undergrad, like a media degree, and then went straight to VCA, which is a film school in Melbourne. Straight after, and yeah, from there I've had a little bit of success with a couple of my shorts. And
a little bit.
So modest.
Stop.
Now, tell us about the short that you've been working on at the moment, because I believe it's got a screening this week. Tell us about it.
Well, that was made... we finished it about 6 months ago, and it was made last year. I wrote it. It was the year after film school, and I wanted to write something that was really quite fun, and I got the idea when I was driving home one day. And
can I just say what the title is? Because it is a fantastic...
It's a fantastic
title. Very, very evocative title. It's called Bruce Lee Played Badminton 2. what the? Has it actually got anything to do with Bruce Lee?
It does a little bit. It's about this overweight, suburban, awkward teenager who wants to be the greatest badminton player in the world.
Which, again, the odds of being the greatest badminton player are up there with being an astronaut and a film director.
Exactly. So it was actually just a diary entry for this character.
You were the high school captain, weren't you? Because you were the only Asian person in your class.
Exactly.
I bet you were really good at maths.
And I do play badminton weekly as well, but
it's true.
Other than ticking all the boxes for being an Asian stereotype, it's really just about a boy kind of wanting to follow his dreams against the odds of his parents not wanting him to do it and so forth. But it's based on this notion that Bruce Lee in high school was a badminton champ, and I didn't know this until I did some research into. Just reading up on badminton forums and stuff, and there's this huge thread happening between all these badminton enthusiasts arguing about the fact that whether or not Bruce Lee was a badminton champ or a table tennis champion in high school.
Both.
And it's a really legit argument that happens between badminton players.
And Bruce Lee lovers.
Yeah.
So we actually made this film last year. We entered a competition through Open Channel, which is a not-for-profit film organisation down in the Docklands. And it's supported by Screen Australia. It's called the Raw Nerve Initiative. And we got shortlisted and we got money to make it, which is really nice. And after 6 months of hard work, we came up with this really great film, and we're really excited to be showing it at St Kilda Film Festival this Friday.
This Friday?
Mm. Yeah.
So where can people go to find out more about that if they're keen and free this Friday?
Well, you can go to the St Kilda Film Festival website. It's on at 9 p.m. at the Astor Theatre this Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, on that note, I think we should do a quick shout out to Friends of the Astor, because I think we're all big Astor supporters as well as film supporters.
Yes.
And they just launched an online petition because the Astor Theatre is currently under threat. It looks like its lease might not be renewed. And they've reached 10,000 signatures in 5 days, which is a massive achievement.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're chatting with Corey, Anna and Beatrix. The time is 9:49. You're on Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9.
YAC is a social support group for people aged 12 to 25.
If you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer or not sure, no worries.
Come along and have a YAC in a chilled and relaxed place and meet other young people like yourself.
YAC meet on the first and third Friday of every month.
For more info, call 1-800-013-952.
Or email yak@fpv.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Kiss My Arts. The time is now 9:50. 1 minute later than what I just said 1 minute ago. We've got Corey, Anna and Beatrix on Kiss My Arts tonight talking about their film Bruce Lee Played Badminton 2. And it is screening at the Astor Theatre this Friday from 9 p.m. So if you're keen, head to the St Kilda Festival website for more info about that.
It's playing with a number of other really great... It's part of the comedy shorts section. So there's a number of really great shorts playing along with it. So it should be a fun night.
Should be a fun night. So getting back to your... Well, this is essentially, as you've pointed out, an autobiographical short. Not really. But
awkward suburban white male.
My alter ego. What of it?
So, Corey, you're the director and Anna, you're the producer. Now, for commoners like me and anyone else out there who's listening who doesn't know how making a film works, tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of how you actually put something like this together. Abracadabra.
Well, I think...
Well, you contact Circuit Breaker. Yeah. They do it for you.
You basically offer to feed people.
Yes.
Like, it's really, you know, there's not much more to it than that.
I think in this instance, though, we... I think we decided we wanted to make another film together after making Wonder Boy the year before. And I really... I really like Corey's sense of humour, so I thought it'd be really nice to get a little bit more comedy out of her. Because, I mean, Wonder Boy had its really funny moments, but it wasn't a straight comedy at all. It was a drama. So Corey decided to write this after seeing a fat kid standing at a bus stop wearing badminton uniform.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you recognise him from a forum or?
And I guess we just took it from there. I think we really wanted to get in the system because it's supported by Screen Australia. We wanted to get our name, you know, in front of them. So we applied for it and we were, yeah, quite surprisingly successful.
I think at this low budget level, you end up having to do lots of different roles. But basically, what happens is, when you're doing shorts, I write the script, go to Anna and say, how much money do we have? She'll say none. And I'll go, yes. How about now? And she'll go, all right. So that's pretty much what happens. You just end up getting a lot of favours and people do it because they're passionate.
Yeah, we were really, really lucky with the amount of support we got on that film. We had an amazing cinematographer called Shelley Farthing-Dorr who just went above and beyond his call of duty. The whole cast and crew were just amazing. I don't know, it's just something that as soon as you get a really good team together, you can pretty much achieve anything.
People are generous. Like, they're so amazing.
As long as you feed them.
As long as you feed them. But I think if people can tell that you've got something that you're really passionate about and that they can get behind, you know, if you have no money, they'll still come. It's incredible.
Creativity wins out in the end. So where to from here, then?
In terms of
what's next?
Just
on the agenda
in general.
Oh, what's not next?
Is it kind of like reading a novel and you're just kind of like, oh, that was great, and then you've closed the book and then you feel depressed that it's over and you're like, right.
Well, films stick around because they stay around the festival circuit for a long time.
Okay, so it's never over.
Luckily for Corey, she's got the services of this great company.
I'm seeing how this works.
But no, it is. Yeah. You know, you're never, as a producer especially, you know, any film that you've worked on, you're responsible for the rest of your life.
Forever. Wow.
So, you just have to keep tabs on all the films that you work on. And, you know, they don't ever really die out. People will see retrospectives of these types of things. And But long term, I think Corey's got a few things on the boil. I've got a few things on the boil. Beatrix has got a few things on the boil.
So stay tuned. You can keep in touch with these girls to check out what they're doing in the future. They all have Twitter accounts. You can check out what Beatrix is doing. She's at Beatrix Coles. That's BEATRIXCOL. ES.
Yeah.
I tried to make that a bit rhythmic so people would remember.
That sounded quite good, actually. You might do my answer phone message after this.
So that's, you can find Beatrix there. And Anna, yours is at AGKOJ, which is a shortened version of your name. And Corey, where can people find? Well, you've got a website.
I do have a website, and I do have also have a Twitter account, but I swear quite a lot on there, so I don't know if I should.
So if you want to know about Corey, tough luck. All right, girls, thank you so much for your time tonight and for chatting to us on Kiss My Arts. I hope to have you back on here again in the future when you are doing all your other wonderful endeavours that you've got in the pipeline. And good luck on Friday for the screening of Bruce Lee Played Badminton 2. And if you're keen and you're listening and you're free on Friday, check it out. Go to the Astor Theatre at 9 p.m. Thanks so much for listening tonight on Kiss My Arts. I'm going to leave you with a track by another Melbourne band called Canary. They're also performing at the Workers Club this Saturday night alongside the Black Chords. They have got a fantastic new album out called Dear Universe. I reviewed it a few weeks ago. Go to the Facebook page, check out the review if you're keen. Here it is.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.